And now it's time for the Scrub Brothers Show. We're putting the body back together. Listen in and learn how amazing the human body is. Learn in a way that's a bit irreverent and thought-provoking. And now it's time to check in for your appointment with the Scrub Brothers.
Good. Welcome back to the Scrub
Brothers. Hey, John. How you be?
Good morning, Vietnam, then, Sean.
It was almost like that.
So, hey, folks, welcome back to the Scrub Brothers. I'm John Schiefeld with my Scrub Brother extraordinaire, Mike Beckham. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I had a great week, John. Listen, I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving over at your house every year. John does unbelievable Thanksgiving. Hasn't burned the house down yet either, which is a great thing.
No, we've smoked turkeys, we fried turkeys, we literally done everything that you can do when it's, you know.
Boiled turkeys. You got shrimp turkeys.
Yeah,
it was a great week. Thanks
Excellent.
For asking.
Well, hey, folks, welcome back. Today we're going to talk about orthodontics.
Orthodontics, yeah.
Well, what is orthodontics?
Well, you know, it's funny. Orthodontics, everybody kind of knows what it is. You know, you get your kid looks kind of like the teeth are moving where they shouldn't be or aren't where you want them to be, and you want a good smile for your child or yourself. So you take them to the orthodontist, and they move their teeth. What I wanted to kind of do was just kind of get people opened up to how things really are now, how they used to be, and how things should be. So one of the things when I was in dental school, we, again, never had any orthodontic training. We had 6 weeks, and it was cursory. It showed us how to trace an x-ray. And what tracing an x-ray means is that at that time, you took a cephalometric x-ray a cephalometric x-ray is a side view of a head, of a skull. And then there are certain anatomical points that you would pick out, and you would do your diagnosis from there, and that diagnosis would kind of tell you how to treat somebody and to what point. But just listen to this. This is amazing, because I started thinking about this the other day, and I said, boy, we really got to do a show on this. Here's what we used to use when I was in dental school back in the day. Everybody used stainless steel wires, and we all used heavy force. Stainless steel wires with heavy force led to horrible root shortening over time, which is what a lot of people have.
So you're talking about braces.
Braces, forgive me.
So I never had braces.
Yeah. You're perfect in every way. I mean, you know that. Most people
from the waist up. And God knows that needs braces, but that's another side digress. Rob, that's about you next week.
Right. So let's go ahead and braces. Let's go ahead and call it that. So at the time, that was a big problem, and that was one of the things that really kept a lot of us out of it was that, boy, the last thing you want to do is put braces on a kid and shorten those roots. You don't want to be responsible for that happening. Why does that happen? Well, we really don't know. We think it's hormonal changes, some of it. It's excessive force on the stainless steel wires and blah, blah, blah. So I'll tell you why that's a bunch of baloney in a few minutes here. It is excessive force. Headgear was used. Everybody remember the old classic things? Everybody had headgear.
And 16 candles. Remember, he wakes up in the back of the car with his headgear on.
There you go. Got to put your headgear
girl.
Absolutely.
I never had headgear.
Well, you know what? You never had that either. This is a guy. He's an alien for guys.
No, it's the funniest thing. I mean, look at me, Mike. I'm quite striking.
Striking is a good word. I think that is.
Like somebody struck me too many times.
Yes, having been struck. Yes, ever relating to, as Webster would say. So why did they use headgear? Well, headgear was done because they thought that, well, you had to use that to keep the upper jaw in place, or you had to use that so that you could keep the back teeth there after you have to close spaces. Why would you have to close spaces? Because at the time it was thought, well, if you have crowded teeth, you have to go ahead and gain some space, and the only way to gain that space would be to remove teeth. So everybody at the time had any kind of crowding had their bicuspid teeth removed. So
the pointy ones.
No, actually the ones next to the pointy ones, yeah. So it was the classic dental term was four on the floor, which meant you took all those four bicuspids out, you drop them in there, you go in the orthodontist's office, or they're going to take four on the floor. They're going to drop them out, take them out, and then they're going to close that space up. And that was thought to be the way to treat, because they said there's no way at the time you could not ever expand an arch. An arch, again, is just the arrangement of the teeth. So you can't do that. There's just no way. They knew that for a fact. And I say they because different school of thought as we crawl through the future here. So everybody took out teeth. And the goal of orthodontics at the time was we want to make those models look good. So if you took impressions of somebody everybody wanted to see those models. Boy, we wanted to see, make sure the models looked good and they all fit together and the bite was perfect and all those kind of things. So that was the standard. You couldn't really work on adults because they knew there was limitations to adult tooth movement. That's, again, what they thought. If teeth are in the correct position, then you weren't have to, you really wouldn't have to do lifetime retention. So that means if you really did your job as an orthodontic practitioner, you would be able to get the teeth in the right spot, and then they would stay there. So how did you diagnose it back in then? This is a, you're going to love this one. There's another great ancillary story maybe I can tell here too. But here's how, one of the analysis that was the standard of care for years and years and years was called the McNamara analysis. So referencing that Ceph x-ray that we talked about before and how the tracings were done off of particular skeletal points, McNamara did this, developed this analysis, and everybody said, wow, that's the way to treat orthodontics. It's fantastic. Well, do you know where McNamara got his thousands of kids that he studied for the McNamara analysis? There were actually two kids. They were his kids. And he said, literally, he said, you know, they look really good. Let's see what they look like. And then, boom, his analysis took over the entire planet. I'm not making this up. This is exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. True story.
Wow, an N of two.
Well, yeah, the study of two. Maybe there was three, but there was no more than that, okay? But when we finish, remind me to tell you about how the standard of care was set for pre-medication for dentistry. That's one you, I heard it from the guy who did it, so you're going to love that one. So let's
gets us into Vietnam and works on his two kids. I mean, really, what else could he have
done?
See,
he wasn't paying attention again. It's a different McNamara, for goodness sake.
Well, you didn't say that.
I'm sorry.
I was a dentist.
I'm trying to make this as succinct as I can to kind of keep our audience listening here. So let's look at how the state of the art and the standard of care is today. Growth and development is critical. That's why we go airway, 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 as we've talked about before. If you have a child with airway problems or an adult with airway problems, the first thing you want to address is the airway, because that allows you to keep your mouth closed when you sleep. The tongue develops the arches. The jaw can come forward. You don't have TMJ problems, and now you have these wide, pretty smiles. The mechanics are completely different. The mechanics back in the day, stainless steel wires, you had to be an absolute expert at bending wire. That's how the teeth moved. You had to be able to bend, and they taught you these certain loops and this loop and that spring and all this kind of thing. And what happened was the development of a bracket, kind of called a Damon bracket, which one of the guys, absolute fantastic, stellar, best orthodontist in the country, guarantee you, Clark Jones here, local fella, helped develop. And that meant that the mechanics, you didn't have to bend wire anymore because the mechanics were all built into the bracket, which is the metal piece that sticks onto the teeth. So you didn't have to bend any wire more because we started using nickel titanium wire, which they found out, hey, you know what? Teeth move faster if you use lighter force. And a nickel titanium wire, what the heck is that? It means that you can tie that in a knot, and a stainless steel wire, there is no reflex. A nickel titanium wire will reflex exactly back to the shape that it was originally forged in. So we have brackets that do the mechanics, light wires that move the teeth, and then we thought, well, then how about orthopedic movement? You can't do that. Yes, you can. You can enlarge things. You can use orthopedic movement even in adults.
So you mean move the jaw around?
You move the jaw, but you also move the arrangement of the arch. So, for example, you got a kid that's got airway issues, and he's got a skinny, narrow upper jaw, which is causing all the problems. If you expand that upper jaw, which we know you can, we know it's stable, you gain more space for the teeth. And so now if you have somebody that comes in with crowded teeth, the last thing you think about doing, the last thing, is taking out teeth, because we know you want to develop the arch, develop the space so that the airway's open, so that when the airway's open, the arch develops correctly, you get space for the teeth, you get a beautiful wide smile, and there are no limitations on patient ages. We know now for a fact you have to have retention is a lifetime exercise. You have to always at night wear something to retain the position of the teeth.
Really? So you never outgrow your braces?
Never.
So if you need them, you're always stuck with them, and if you don't need them, you'll never need them?
Well, no, that's not true, because here's what happens. Teeth move, and they always will. If you have perfect teeth, perfect smile, oh my gosh, I'm so lucky, everything's great. As you age, what changes? Everything. The muscle changes in your cheek. The tongue muscle changes. The vertical dimension of the face closes, which means you grind your teeth over time or intrude your teeth over time. So that changes. So all those things that change will cause tooth movement. So even if you've been lucky enough not to have any orthodontics at all your entire life, you're going to notice later on you'll probably start getting some lower crowding in those lower front teeth.
Do I have lower crowding?
No, you're perfect. Honest to goodness, how is that possible?
You're just saying that. What are you doing later on?
Striking.
Striking.
And here's the other thing. They stopped treating to the models because we found that the models, when you treat to models, you treat to a piece of stone that's impressed, the teeth look great. But the problem was you started looking at the faces and you think, you know what, these faces, why don't these faces look great? Why don't they look great? And if you look at people like Jodie Foster, like one of the Kennedy girls, and you look at their faces and you just think, gosh, they just have that kind of dark triangle kind of in the back when they smile. Their smile doesn't look full. Why is that? Well, it's because they had bicuspids taken out and everything was closed in and the face wasn't developed. The arch wasn't developed, which is what we're doing right now. So physically, how does a tooth move? You think about, gosh, well, how a tooth is stuck in bone. How do you even move it? Well, here's the first thing. The tooth is not stuck in bone. The tooth kind of floats in the bone, and it's suspended by a ligament. And we call it the periodontal ligament. So the ligament itself is really important because that ligament contains the cells that activate either destroying bone or making bone. So when you put a tooth under pressure, the first thing that happens is cytokines are released. Cytokines are an enzyme/protein that cause bone degeneration and bone construction. So in the area where you're pushing the tooth, there's tension and there's compression. The compression side bone is resolved. The tension side bone is adapted to it. So the teeth literally move, quote, through the bone by creating bone and taking bone away. And light forces are what make that happen. That's why you can't get out of retention immediately. So how long should you retain somebody and keep their arches and their smile retained full time before you can go ahead and say, well, we're going to just use nighttime retention? You have to keep it, the retention, full time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, up to 6 months, because those cytokines are in the bone, and those cytokines will cause those teeth and allow those teeth to move. If you give it 6 months, the cytokine concentration drops in the bone, the teeth won't move, and you can use nighttime retention. So that's the earmark. That's exactly what happens right now. So when you see clear aligners right now, you know how folks, you see that all Invisalign. Yeah, Invisalign. Is Invisalign good? Oh my gosh, Invisalign's fantastic. I mean, it used to be a pain in the schnutz, and it was kind of evolving kind of technology, but it is so good right now, and it is so predictable. It is fantastic treatment. And that's why you have to wear your aligner 22 hours a day. Because if you wear it less than that, and we call it non-compliance, what happens is that the cytokine concentration drops in the bone. So when the cytokine concentration drops in the bone, the teeth aren't moving. So you get the teeth moving, then they stop. Then they move them and stop. Then they try and up and go to another aligner, which allows the teeth to move again to the next stage, but it doesn't fit or it doesn't work. Well, it's because you haven't kept it in 22 hours a day and those teeth haven't moved. So if they don't comply, that's the reason the time is critical for the people to do it. Well, 22, I'll just wear it 20. Well, no. Now you're missing 4 hours. Now the cytokine levels drop. Now you're not allowing the cytokine levels to stay high and the teeth won't move through the bone.
So and you really should listen, wear it 24 hours a day.
You should. And that's what we just tell people. Because otherwise, you know, forget it. They won't, you know, 22 means 20, you know, give them an inch, they'll take a yard, you know, that kind
Amen,
of
brother.
Yeah, that kind of thing, you know. So anyway, so I thought that was kind of a fascinating thing. So the other paradigm that really changed, and this is a great little story here. You talk about life-changing courses and life-changing people that you find. Again, you're going to love this one. I told my partner this. Went to this dental convention years ago, and you know, it was another international orthodontic society meeting. It was in Tempe, and I went down there, and there is no way in heck I am ever going to continuing ed on Sunday. Never. Usually won't go Saturday afternoon because I can't sit still. I just get twitchy. I mean, unless it's something I want to know and I really feel like I need to know, I can't just sit there and listen to them babble. I just can't do it. So these guys, again, they said, hey, you know what? You need to hang out and come back Sunday morning. Oh, are you out of your flipping mind? And come see this guy named Yosh, Y-O-S-H, Jefferson. He's the president of the association. It'll change your life when you see this guy. Really? Okay, fine. And at the break, I'll get to him in a minute. At the break, I'll never forget this. I walked down the aisle of the booth, you know, where they have the people that, you know, selling you stuff and the patrons and those kind of things, promoting their businesses. And I walked up and I saw this booth and I recognized the gal that was running it because I knew her dad was a dentist. So I said, "What are you doing?" She goes, "Oh, we're starting this company. It's a website for dentists." And I said, "What is a website?" Now, that's a true story. Think about that.
That was last year.
Yeah. And I'm not, I know I'm not tech savvy now and I don't want to be, but I think, you know, you forget how far technology has carried us. But I really, I had no, and it wasn't like I was the only one who didn't know. She said, "Well, we think it's really going to be a good way to promote your," I said, "a website, really?" And I thought, well, I got one from her because I thought, well, what the heck? But it was very crude. But isn't that something? If you think about the how technology has advanced.
Yeah, and accelerating Moore's Law. I mean, just every year it doubles.
So I just wanted to kind of finish with these thoughts because I thought this is so profound. So the paradigm for thinking about braces and orthodontics is not how the teeth look on a model. It's how does the face look? So you treat to the aesthetics of the face. And so I went to see this guy named Yosh Jefferson, as I said, on Sunday morning. So he gets in there and he starts the conversation like this. He says, talks about something called the divine proportion. Never heard of it. I had taken art classes, but I never really knew about it. So he starts out and he says, "Well, let's look at some things in nature." And he just says, "Well, let's throw a rock into the water." And he started it that way. And he said, you know, if the rock hits the water and the first wave is measured as one, let's say, or you can call it X. The second wave is measured from the center of the rock, X times 1.618. And the third wave is measured 1 times 1.618 from the second wave. Then on and on and on. So then he goes through galaxies, and he says the Nautilus shell is the same way. The galaxies, if you take pictures of them, if you look at the inside of the galaxy, the first spiral is this. The second is 1 times 1.618. Colors in nature, even architecture that we find beautiful. Go to Leonardo's statues, Leonardo's paintings. It's all mathematical proportion. And when you start looking at the face, you think, what's a perfect face? What's a beautiful face? I mean, this was an unbelievable concept. He said, look at this. He said, besides John.
1.618.
Well, I know. I can see it. I mean, this guy is so mathematically perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I wish you could see this. John looks like a
1.618.
He looks like a cross between, Harvey Weinstein and what is his name? The other guy?
Krobeck.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. So
that was so bad. That was so bad.
So anyway.
At least you're 1.168. I've had too much pie. I'm 3.14.
Not 1.1.
No, see, he's going to screw the math up on this thing. But the fascinating,
like a Neanderthal.
I'm telling you.
Anyway, go ahead. Sorry, Mike.
No, that's totally fine. But the fascinating part of that is when you start seeing this, you start listening to his lecture, you think, wow, this is amazing. And so he said, how about this? Everybody had a clicker. You know, he said, I'm going to throw up 50 pictures, two slides by each other at the same time. You got 5 seconds. We're ready to go. You're going to click on the one you think is the prettiest, most attractive person. Click, 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 click. You know, Halle Berry's picture comes up. You know, it sounded like a machine gun going off. You know, everybody's clicking. But so it goes on and on and on. He said, okay, here's the results. Pulls them up. He said, 98% of you pick the same picture every time I put a picture up on there. And he goes, and let me show you why. He's developed this facial mask that you can put over any kind of portrait, and it'll show you exactly the dimensions of your face. And if your face matches the dimensions of that golden perspective,
1.618.
Here you go, right here. You're going to be attracted to it. So when you see that, it's so fascinating because it's so true. He even took a picture like Ronald Reagan. Reagan, great looking young dude, great looking older fella. But their faces are not anywhere alike. If you overlay the young face and the old face, they're not anywhere close to being alike because in men, unfortunately, two things grow, nose and ears. But mathematically, they're both exactly dead on. And that's why they picked him for Hollywood, basically, because he had that perfect face. Yeah. And the face all goes back to the proportions. So if for example, your cheekbones, if that was 1 or X, let's say, let's call it 1, from the cheek to cheek, from your chin to the top of your head would be 1 times 1.618. From your chin to your nose, to your lip, excuse me, is 1. Then from your chin to your nose is 1 times 1.618. From that, take that times 1.618, it should equal to the top of your head. So it gives you a standard, a non-racial, non-ethnic standard of how to treat defaces. And so Dr. Jefferson developed this analysis, which is makes complete sense and completely logical. And you get great-looking faces like Clark Jones locally does and some of the other people that really know what they're doing. And it involves airway orthopedics and how to position things correctly.
All from that number. It's like the magic number.
It is. It's absolutely unbelievable. That's and when you see cool. it again, he spent so much time on details that I found, you know, fascinating, that Da Vinci and animals yeah. and nature. And it was
did
just,
they do by they must have done it by accident, though. Or did Da Vinci know this formula?
That's the thing. Da Vinci actually knew because he did the math
yeah.
on certain things.
That's crazy.
So Da Vinci did know.
I'm going to measure my face. I'm serious.
I'm telling you. It's, you know.
Yeah.
It's
striking.
It's going to, I mean, why measure? You can just take, I'll give you Yash's website and you can pull up a mask and take it from there, my
So,
friend.
Mike, speaking of, so we have our story, we have our funny story of the week, and this was one of mine. This was the J-Lo butt story. Have I told you a story before?
No.
Rob, you know the story? J-Lo butt? So the J-Lo butt story is I'm literally examining this woman's rear end because her chief complaint is, that was a great talk, by the way, on orthodontics thing. I knew none of that again.
Oh, that's good to hear.
It's you could fill a book with what I don't know, seriously. Anyway, J-Lo. So this woman comes in and her cheek plate is, my buttocks are red and swollen, which is an odd complaint. And so I'm literally on my knees.
And she wasn't an orangutan. You sure about
no,
that?
No, but that's what it looked like. She had pinkish reddish buttocks. And she was not a small lady. And so I'm literally on my knees pushing my finger into her buttocks. And I'm in the way of scribes who take down all the words, take down the exam. Hey, here's what's yeah. going on. And I'm examining her as I'm talking to her. And I'm on my knees in the room pushing my finger into her red swollen buttocks. Thinking, what the heck is this?
Was there a reason you were on your knees, John? Just
well, yeah, because I need to get to her buttocks.
Okay,
level.
If you got to get to the buttocks, you got to get on your knees. I'll tell you that.
Amen, brother. So I'm pushing on this thing, and I finally look up. And I say, I don't understand what were you doing? She goes, I was injecting fish oil into my. I was injecting vitamin E. No, I was injecting fish oil into my buttocks. I said, fish oil. She goes, yeah, I was taking those little fish oil capsules, and pulling the stuff out and injected each buttocks 18 times with fish oil, 18 different spots. And I stopped pushing. I looked up at her and I go, you know, ma'am, I said, I've never said this to a patient, but that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my whole entire life. Why are you injecting fish oil into your buttocks? Who told you to do that? She goes, the internet. I said, the internet told you to inject fish oil into your ass? And she goes, fish oil has fatty asses in it.
Oh, my God.
It's fatty acid.
Oh, my God.
And it doesn't work like that. So, sure enough, I looked it up on the internet. And there is some site I found where they're coming to get him right now. I looked it up on the internet. There's some site that says if you rub fish oil on your buttocks, it will give you a J-Lo butt. So she thought that she was enhancing the process to get a J-Lo butt. And she goes, what am I supposed to do? And I said, stay away from cats. I literally had nothing for her.
Really, what are you saying?
Yeah. Nothing.
Hang out by the baboon pen down at the zoo. You get some action down there.
Oh, my God. Okay, so question of the week, and I know we've got to run here. My doctor says my Atlanta, but what else can I do to prevent heartburn? And the really answer is try to relate it to the food you're eating. That's the easiest thing to do. There's a ton of over-the-counter preparations you can take for this acid reflux, acid ingestion. Try those. Try to relate it to some food. Don't eat 3 hours before bedtime.
That's a biggie.
That is one of the bigger ones. And if that doesn't work, think of things like H. pylori, which you need a test to see, which is a kind of bacteria in your gut. And then finally, if it's still bothering you, see your physician. He or she can put you on some different things that are things that coat your stomach, things that are called proton pump inhibitors, things that decrease the amount of acid in your stomach. And that's all we have for
today. Yeah, well, you know that I was on that because I had that. They had diagnosed it as acid reflux laryngitis.
Did you really?
Yeah. And yeah, Sister Renee, yeah. Your wife. Wow, yeah. Yeah, so I got there and she gave me the guys and I said, I don't have acid reflux. And he said, oh, yes, you do. He said about 65% of people think that they don't have acid reflux. And so my vocal cords were torched. I could not talk. So he put me on the proton pump inhibitors for a short time, which I hate taking pills, so I stopped doing that. I'm no saint, if you can believe that. I know it's hard.
I've never had acid reflux.
Well, you know what?
I'm practically perfect in every way. 1.618.
One times 1.618. But
isn't one times 1.618 still 1.618 because it's one times that?
It is, but you got to get with the rhythm. If you don't do the rhythm, he's not getting the math. You got to get the feel and the flow of the whole geometry.
It's a rap song.
I'm telling you, yeah. 1.618. So, no, I just stopped that. So I stopped
who
eating after
straight?
6 o'clock.
1.618.
If that should be on late? Sesame for sure. Oh, man. Well, great show, John.
Well, folks, thank you for listening. We just go downhill from here. The Scrub Brothers. See you next week. Thanks again, Mike.
Hey, thanks,
1.618.
I'm there, buddy.
All right.
I'll find a part that fits.
Thanks for listening to The Scrub Brothers Show. Every week, putting the body back together right here. Listen live or on demand 24/7. Join us next week for your appointment with The Scrub Brothers.